Hi everyone, this is Achu Tibava from Nightlight Astrology, and today I am doing another episode on becoming a professional astrologer. My guest is Kat Nelligan. You guys know Kat. She's my social media manager, and she is also a fantastic astrologer and author of a new book that's coming out about the Daimon, which she came on my channel to talk about not long ago. Kat also helps me host Q&A episodes. She has her own podcast called The Creative Introvert. So many cool things that you can check out about Kat and her work, and I'm glad to feature her today and have her here to talk about her journey to becoming a professional astrologer and some of the tips and advice that she has for all of you out there who are in the process of studying or thinking about maybe offering chart readings for other people. So Kat, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on once again.
Yeah, I mean, I want to start by, I like asking people how they first got into astrology. How did astrology come into your life? You have a really interesting story that also involves a pretty good dose of skepticism that you had at first about astrology. So maybe take us through that and how astrology came into your life and maybe how you worked through your skepticism or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people come to astrology in that way. You know, like a lot of people, all I knew about astrology was my, star sign or sun sign. And I, at the same time, I was into a lot of other kind of like personality type tools, things like Myers-Briggs, the Enneagram. And I was really, sold on a lot of these tools. Speaking to a friend about astrology, because I picked up a book which involved the Enneagram mixed with astrology, and I was like, what's astrology doing in this, really logical book about the Enneagram? And my friend was saying, neither of them are scientific, but if it works for you, then it works for you. And that new line of thinking, the fact that something doesn't need to be like scientific, at least in the way that I was understanding science at the time, it didn't matter. If it was useful, then it was useful. And that kind of helped me get over my initial skepticism, as well as, and I've spoken to you about this before, but that episode that you did on the astrology podcast about astrology as prediction, and it was in defense of prediction, I think. So listening to people like yourself talking about astrology in what I would call like a non-woo-woo crazy way, I hope that I'm not trying to use that term in a derogatory way,
right.
But it was that, it was just that the more I learned, the less skeptical I got. So again, I think that's a story that a lot of people have. They might just start out just a bit curious, and they end up realizing that it's an amazing world once you get into it, and you start kind of changing how you think about like what's useful, what's scientific, what's real.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that a lot of people, a lot of astrologers actually come to astrology after some initial sense of skepticism or reservation about it. I mean, even though I was, and it's funny that it often also comes through some other kind of mystical experience or some other kind of almost like, what do I want to say? Like something that you might also, someone might also have a lot of skepticism about. For example, the Enneagram. You hear you are reading the Enneagram, and someone might say, well, the Enneagram's not like, I mean, it's, someone could say it's just as woo-woo as astrology. So what is it about astrology? But the same thing happened to me when I was drinking ayahuasca for many years, and then astrology came in, and I was like, astrology? And someone might be like, well, dude, you're chugging like psychedelic cannon blasts of jungle juice down in the Amazon. Like, how could you be skeptical of astrology? And I think it's probably because, and tell me if I'm wrong, Kat, but it's because your impression of astrology in the modern era is also, I don't know, the impressions you get from newspapers, maybe it's right next to the funnies, to the comics and, or just the caricature that you have of astrology in your head. But then you start thinking, oh, well, maybe there's something a little deeper here. Maybe there's something a little bit more ancient and intellectually solid. Like, is there something to stand on here? And then you start diving in and you're like, oh, there is,
Yeah, completely. And as you kind of mentioned, your experience in particular was very, as I understand it, very experiential. And that's kind of been the case for me with astrology. Like the more I experience it in different ways, and not just through like the newspaper or a magazine, the experiences change your perception of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, of course. Yeah, it's like, it's a weird, it's, you start having astrological experiences and they complement the, you know, intellectual development that you're having, as you're studying or whatever. And then it starts being like, okay, wow, this is, and you're right too, that it's not really a, it's not a traditional scientific, discipline, right? In the way that most people understand science, but it does have its own, epistemological validity. It has, it is its own way of knowing and experiencing and relating. And, you know, indigenous people from all over the planet have related to reality through signs, omens, symbols, animals, dreams, myths, images. And here we have like a, like its own little language that is, if you start relating to it, the language has a truth speaking ability. And it's just very non-ordinary in this, in the same way that you, it's very difficult to demonstrate that dreams carry messages. How can you really prove something like that? Or say, similarly, like if science can describe, I mean, you know, science has a lot of really, really good uses. So I'm not a science hater, but science can describe how much a book weighs, right? But it's going to have a lot harder time agreeing upon what the inherent meaning of that book is, or how it is that it could have so many different meanings to different people or something like that. So anyway, it's interesting that you began with skepticism, and that actually I think that's pretty common. So it, just for those people who out there who are listening, your journey to astrology or with astrology may begin with an initial skepticism. The other thing that's really overwhelming, Kat, for me, what do you think about, and I want to know if you had this experience too, is that when you first encounter astrology, it's kind of like, it can be overwhelming. And there's this feeling of like your skepticism, but also like, oh, this is like this whole thing. And I'm not sure I want to try to wade through it. It's too confusing. It's, there's too much, you have to be really super invested and, you know, in order to understand anything of it. And did you have that experience too, where you were sort of overwhelmed by it, or how did that happen for you?
Yeah, I was, I thought I could figure out anything just from reading a few books, and especially with astrology, this non-scientific thing, I just thought, okay, I'll learn what these different zodiac signs mean and that will be it. And then you realize, okay, so I also need to understand planets and houses and it just, and aspects, and it just kind
keeps
of
going.
It keeps snowballing. Yeah. And then putting it all together. And that was just, I think, something that so many people encounter, even when they start to understand a little bit about the symbols themselves. So yeah, that there was definitely a sense of overwhelm and a kind of a bit of a despair for a moment, realizing that even though the books that I was reading were like helpful and interesting, that I wasn't, it wasn't coming together really fully for me.
Right. That kind of like happen.
Yeah. And similarly, like when you try to learn a language, I mean, I'm not great at speaking anything. I mean, even English, I struggle, but you can't just learn the words. There's like, there's a lot more to it. You need to learn how to string a sentence together. You need to practice in conversation with people. So it's kind of like that.
Also, there are rewards pretty early on that kind of start to make you feel like, okay, this is overwhelming and it's a lot, but it's really rewarding and I actually can do it. I feel like there's little gifts that the oracle gives us as we start studying the signs and symbols, where suddenly it's as though as you're studying them, before you have the ability to piece everything together, the little pieces that you do have start, they emit little sparks and little illuminations, little understandings, little, I can see this symbol here. You start to be able to see and experience things astrologically, even with in the beginning, early stages. And I think that's kind of what drags people along. But one of my next question for you is, how did you go from curious and interested, overwhelmed, a little skeptical, all of these things to, I'm going to study this? How did that happen?
I think that was just a matter of consuming enough content and then just sort of reaching a limit. And honestly, like you plugging your courses, that was a big helpful thing where I was like, okay, you know what? I can just tap out and admit that I need help with this, basically, which wasn't easy, I guess, at first. But yeah, and I'm sure some people, it will be enough for them to learn on their own. But for me, I knew that I wanted to start sharing this with other people. And in order to share anything, because at the time I you know, I was podcasting, I'd been podcasting for a while. And I talked a lot about things like the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs. And I was like, oh, I desperately want to share about astrology, but I don't know enough to share. And I probably still don't know enough to share, but it was enough that it was very encouraging for me to think, if I can learn this properly, then I've got a real potential to share this and bring it to some other people, and try to do it in a way that would be as appealing as I found it, because there are a lot of astrologers that weren't very appealing to me, basically. So mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, you do have to find the right fit. And I think that's one of the things that I was wonderful to have you in the program. And then obviously, you know, you have such good creative skills, and I really liked your podcast, The Creative Introvert, and, you know, just the natural marketing that you have and the different kinds of skills that you have as someone who's does web design and online marketing and stuff like that. So you had a lot of tools in your kit that were also ready made in a sense to take astrology in and kind of combine those crafts together. When you know, I think when you're looking for a program out there, one of the things that's really important is realizing most people are going to need a teacher or a few teachers, a program, or maybe a few programs that they go through that helps them to take all of the theoretical components of astrology and make sense out of them individually and cooperatively. And then, in my opinion, you also need to see readings. You need to see how readings are done or what they look like. Maybe get readings from a few different astrologers, but also see astrologers do readings. That's one of the great mysteries to me as an astrologer, was like, why aren't astrologers showing people their readings outside of like a classroom demonstration of one theoretical concept with a famous person's chart or something like that, or maybe one little case study of a client, but like, let's see what a reading actually looks like. That's something that I've really prided myself on in my programs, is trying to provide that. But yeah, you do feel you get to a point where you're like, okay, well, I need to find someone to help me. But then in that process, you also find your own voice, and you get to a point where you're ready to perhaps launch your own practice. I'm curious to know how you got to that point where you started to see clients, or you just kind of described to us how you decided to study and take it on, and you had some platforms and some skills already sort of tailor-made to put all of this stuff together with. But when did you decide, okay, I'm ready to study, or I'm ready to see clients, or I'm ready to kind of put myself out there as an astrologer? And when did that happen too? How long have you been doing it?
Yeah. So this is, again, like part of why I found going through a course like yours so helpful, was that it did give me the confidence to think, okay, well, you know, I've gone through this material. I've been practicing on friends and family, like, I can see clients now. Maybe some people don't get to that stage as quickly. Maybe that was my own kind of like cockiness. But honestly, like, I think if you go through it, you will have the right. And if that's your goal, then there wouldn't be any reason to stop anyone from doing that, let's say a year in after taking your course. That's how it was for me. Yes. So that was like, intentionally, I didn't have a hard time being like, it's time to see clients now. I think the other thing that helped me with that is because I was also coaching people at that time. So having one-to-one conversations about things like career and creativity, I was kind of used to that anyway. And actually, the idea of having having astrology as a tool to kind of assist in those conversations and a language to communicate with a client, that was just a bonus and actually made coaching a hell of a lot easier. So again, this is kind of like specific to what I was already doing. So I found it not so hard. And there was also the incentive. If you already have a podcast, or, you know, you put out content in any way, for me, there was an incentive to bring astrology to my existing audience, and obviously lose like a bunch of people in the meantime, because, you know, not everyone's going to want to come along for that ride.
Right.
But yeah, this just speaks to my first, you know, if I can call it a tip, if anyone is interested in, you know, seeing more clients, or if they're starting their astrology practice, it's never too late to start putting content out there. So I personally don't think I would have had any luck at all in seeing anyone had I not already had an existing platform, even a very small one. So that would be the first kind of thing that I found very helpful.
Platform meaning like a space in which to share creative content, about like astrology.
Whether it's like a blog or a podcast. I mean, for me, I'd stopped blogging, but I had an audio podcast. And then about a year into my practice, I started putting out YouTube videos. And that was scary. It still is scary.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, and you know, just in terms of like, you know, getting people to find out about your stuff, is obviously like being in association with other astrologers. Obviously people have found my work through you and I'm really, really grateful for that, but that could be in the same way that I found you through another podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's never not the case. Like it will be the case for anyone that, unless it's word of mouth, which is also obviously a great way to get new clients. The other thing is being featured on other people's shows and making friends in the astrology community. I think that really can't be underestimated.
Yeah, it's true. It's like the most standard way people ask me, and you know, in my classes, well, what do you recommend? And I'm like, well, there's the path that I took is really the only one I know, you know. So content creation, astrological, spiritual, yogic, that's the stuff I've been creating for a long time. And from there, you have a platform through which to let people know who you are and what you're doing. I don't think it needs to be, some people are not going to do YouTube. They're going to do just written work or whatever, but any kind of, even less about the audience and the literal marketing aspect of it is just the process of saying, this is what I do. This is what I think about. This is what I'm sharing. This is what I'm in some kind of creative rapport with the spirits of astrology, and I'm sharing that with others, seems to attract, I hate to use that kind of new age cliche, but it does seem to attract more attention and people saying, oh, this person does astrology. So I do recommend to my students that they have some, even if it's just a once monthly thing that they write about the lunar cycle ahead, or maybe once weekly or something. You know, some people are going to be really excited about daily blogging or regular YouTubing or something like that. But I think some kind of content creation is helpful. Of course, I have many students who come through the programs, and unlike Kat, who has really awesome show and was able to dovetail her coaching work and all this stuff, maybe they don't have any background like that. You have an online marketing background. You work with people who are maybe trying to get creative projects off the ground. Maybe they lack confidence or experience. What are some of the tips you would give for people who don't maybe come in with some of the skills you had or some of the platform that you already had built? Maybe what are some of the tips that you would give someone if they were sitting down with you for a coaching session saying, hey, I'm taking some astrology classes or I'm really studying and I really want to do this. What should I do? What mm-hmm. other tips would you have for them, Kat?
I think first of all, figuring out what they most love about astrology and expressing that however they do it. So if they've got a website or even like just an Instagram page, you wouldn't even need a full-on website. But just figuring out what you specifically love, because it's not, I mean, just saying you're an astrologer is one thing, but for example, you know, what kind of astrology are you focusing on, or what area, like what do you like to help people most with when it comes to astrology? What are your beliefs? I mean, that was something that, again, I've saw you do a lot of, you very expressive about like the way you see astrology. And I think that's helpful for, you know, potential clients to see, because then they're like, okay, so I'm going to go to that astrologer because they see it in a similar way to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Figuring out where your focus, where your interests, where your, maybe even your passion lies.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think if you are interested in creating content, showing up as consistently as possible. So like Achita said, even if it's every month, we'll continue doing it every month. Or if that feels overwhelming, because if somebody, like sometimes I'll say to a client, okay, so if you're prepared to do, you know, once a month or once a week forever, that seems really scary. But if you run a kind of experiment and say, I will commit to doing like 10 blog posts or 10 podcast episodes, and then checking in with yourself, at least then you've given it a fair try. does that, you know, so like, yeah. I really think yeah. that that will also kind of get you into a rhythm. You can figure out how much is too much. Did I bite off more than I could chew if I did it every week? Figuring out your style, like all of these things, just running an experiment, I think is a helpful thing for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And when it comes to seeing clients for the first time, people always ask me, you know, like, am I ready? You know, maybe closer toward the end of the first year program or something. Am I ready? And I'm like, you're never ready. You know what I mean? Like you just got to put yourself out there and get some experience and make sure people know that you're trying to get experience so that they, you know, so they don't have expectations. And a lot of the times when I talk about doing a sliding scale or a lower fee in the beginning, then, you know, then you're going to have later, or maybe even donation based, different models that work, but it's just like getting over that hurdle of being afraid of getting, of having readings. Or if you're going to pair a client practice with, I mean, one of the hardest things again is marketing. How are you letting people know that you do this? That's why we're talking about content creation and the need to have some kind of platform where you can share, you know, a transit of the week or something so that people know this is what I'm doing. And maybe you say, hey, if you want a reading, check out my website or whatever, some way of contacting a person to set up a reading. You have to have that stuff regularly, but you also, the most important thing is really just getting to the point where you're like, I just have to put myself out there and do this. And that's never easy, you know?
No. And you're right that as long as you say to people, hey, I'm learning or I'm trying to get experience, people are very, very generous. I've never had, especially in the early days, like no one's ever turned around and been like, well, that was like way worse than I expected. It's like people are really encouraging if they know that you're new.
So. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also like, I always tell my students, you know what you can do and know what you can't do. Someone's saying, oh, I want a solar return reading. And you don't really feel like you can go there yet. Or someone's like, hey, I want you to, you know, do a forecast for me for the next 5 years. And you're like, I can give you a few, maybe in the next couple of months or, you know, like whatever, you know, just kind of know, staying within your limits and not feeling like you have to impress people beyond what you're capable of yet. Being content with small gains, you have to kind of be willing to go through a period of uncertainty as to whether you're any good at it or not, but just keep doing it. And if you keep showing up, creating some content, letting people know you're doing it and getting some readings under your belt, it starts coming together, doesn't it, Kat?
It does. And there are always like kind of peaks and troughs. Like sometimes I'll be like, yeah, I'm like acing this. I was like, and then it, like a week later, I'll be like, I'm terrible at astrology. What am I doing? So there's always that roller coaster ride, at least.
I've 10, 11 years in for me, and I still feel that way. I go through peaks and valleys with content creation. Some days my content just kind of sucks. I'm in a rush, whatever, and just do my best, learn from it, keep going. One of the things about, you know, working with astrology is that there's periods where it's like this rush of new information and new learning and new vocabulary and new insights. And it's like, oh, I'm a wizard, you know? And then, you know, the next day it's like, you know, you just don't feel right. Or you're not seeing things clearly or whatever. So, and that's the same, I don't know. I've experienced the same thing in pretty much any practice. I mean, guitar is like that, though I'm not like a great guitar player or anything, but guitar is like that, you know, working out is like that. You have peaks and valleys. So it's just knowing that that's normal and taking the long view.
Definitely.
So I also want people to know that you actually became very specifically interested. And this is, I mean, for me, one of the things that I love about what you said earlier that dovetails with this is finding your passion. You know, Spencer Michaud, who's been on my show before, I think it was the last episode, maybe, he became really passionate about fixed stars and decans. Yeah. And a lot of what he does now revolves around specializing in those things. It's not that you have to specialize in astrology, right? I don't really consider myself a specialist outside of Hellenistic astrology and Bhakti yoga, broadly speaking, are kind of like my focal points. But some people are also going to find that you, as you get into astrology, it's like, I want to work with people who have love relationship issues. Oh, I want to work with kids. I want to work with kids charts, or I want to work with parents to understand their kids charts. Or sometimes what happens is you're also going to be served by finding maybe one or a few specific uses of astrology that really, really speak to you and almost call to you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people will find that that's the case after they start studying astrology. It's overwhelming, vast thing, but then something specific that helps it not feel so overwhelming will start calling to you and help you narrow your focus. And that kind of happened for you too, Kat, with regard to the topic of the daimon, which is one of the words in ancient astrology that is used in a lot of different places in the ancient astrology texts, in reference, for example, to the sun, in reference to certain houses, the daimon is used. You became fascinated by this and you wrote a book about it. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how this interest in the daimon emerged and how it became a focal point for you? What is the daimon? Maybe a little preview about that. And tell us about this book that you have coming out as well.
Yeah, thank you. And you're right. This was a very obvious like pull to me. And I think in hindsight now, I mean, this wasn't obvious to me at the time at all, but this idea that I was so already interested in helping creatives out with their career and calling and finding like meaningful, and not just meaningful work, but just doing meaningful stuff that felt like the natural path. And all of those kind of conversations, for me, learning about the daimon, this I guess you can think about it as like a kind of spirit guide, or even destiny itself. That was just so obviously aligned in hindsight with all of my existing interests. But it was also a timely thing in that at that time I was doing the sort of vagabond thing. I'd left my flat and at home, and I was looking for more like a different line of work, and in all of these different things where I was very much lost at that time and looking for answers, looking for something to help me feel like I'm on that, what I call a path. Again, mm-hmm. This is, it's a subjective thing really, but finding this concept of the daimon and how it interlinked with astrology, hearing a podcast about it on the astrology podcast, hearing you mention Dorian Greenbaum's book, The Daimon in Hellenistic Astrology, and just finding a lot of answers there, reading The Soul's Code by James Hillman. And even today, I mean, this is the craziest thing. Like last night, I picked up a book that I bought maybe even before I was into astrology. It was around 2017. Yeah. And what was that? Sorry.
Oh, nothing.
Okay. And what I found was that this book that I'd neglected for the last few years, it's called like Projection and Recollection by Marie-Louise von Franz. And there's like a section on it about the daimon. And I just read that last night. I was like, what the hell? Like I didn't know that that's what the book would have in it. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is a lot of different sources kind of kept coming to me, which were all talking about this being or concept, the daimon. Sorry, that makes me sound like a bit of a crazy person. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you put it in a great way when you said that the daimon is thought of as a spirit, you know, by ancient people. The daimon is loosely the name for spirit or spirits or a guiding spirit. And so the subject of the daimon and this idea of a personal guardian of destiny, or the, you know, personal guide, destiny itself, this kind of thing. Really fascinating topic. And so people have heard us talk about this before already on my channel, but that was something that spoke to you and that became this focal point for how you would conduct readings, the subject matter you became really passionate about. And I see that happens for a lot of astrologers. When you're getting into it, one of the things that you can almost rely on that will ease the burden of having to figure out how to do it all is like something will literally call you, and a pathway to expressing your love of astrology will just appear. It sounds kind of woo-woo, but that's the territory of the daimon, really, as I understand it, and as I understood it in reading your book.
Yeah, and it will be personal to you. I mean, like I said, it was something that I was already kind of interested in different ways, even before I got into astrology. Equally, it was helpful at a particular like difficult time in my life, and then later it just kind of keeps growing. Like the more you follow those, I don't know, like I call them like breadcrumbs, like on a breadcrumb mm-hmm. trail, the more that thing kind of keeps growing. And this grew into a book somehow. So
it's amazing. I read the book. I had the pleasure of writing a blurb for it in the introduction. I highly recommend people check it out. It's a Kickstarter project right now. You have 142 backers with 10 days to go. So there's still time for people to help you kickstart your project and to pick up a copy of the book along the way. What I love about this is that it's a book that's really, it helps you understand what the daimon is, helps you think about what it might be. It helps us also to identify some approaches for understanding the daimon in relationship to the birth chart. It also has practical approaches for almost cultivating like a relationship with your personal daimon, which I think is really important because that's really, as I understand it, what people like Carl Jung were really doing in something like the Red Book. People like J.R.R. Tolkien and the muse that, you know, he was working with the Lord of the Rings. It, there's something that if we get in touch with this personal spirit, that there's a way in which, you know, there's kind of a spirit of intrigue and mystery and excitement surrounding the path that we're on, even regardless of what comes of it or not, if it's not the Lord of the Rings, you know.
No, you said that perfectly. And it's that thing that pulls you. And it's like, if anyone's found themselves like get the astrology bug, that's kind of daimonic in that way. It's that thing that pulls you along.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened to me when I started studying astrology, man. It just felt like I got bit, you know, like a viral infection of spiritual science. It was like, oh my God, this thing has overrun me. And it does settle down in time, you know, by the way, just in case that sounds kind of creepy to people, like you do like fun, but it's a good thing if something's really calling to you like that. And anyway, I love your book and you can check it out through Kickstarter. I have the link up on the screen. We're going to put it in the description of this video. Mm-hmm. Also, if you go to Kat Rose Astrology, you can find Kat's regular blog and astrology, tutoring, astro coaching. You can get the link to the Kickstarter. Also, the Creative Introvert Show and Kat's YouTube channel, Kat Rose Astrology, right here. So you can go to Kat Rose Astrology on YouTube if you want to subscribe and hear her regular takes and conversations that she's having with people about astrology, about the daimon and so forth. Some really good ones. So be sure to check that out. Is there any other link that I'm missing, Kat, that people should be aware of?
No, I think that's everything. Yeah, and I'll put it in the description below as well.
Lots of good videos on the daimon also on your YouTube channel. So if people want to check it out, I highly recommend it. Kat, is there anything else you want to leave people with in terms of some advice that you have for astrologers or soon to be astrologers?
Yeah, I think following, like we were talking about, following those nudges that I'm calling the daimon, and if they are like, you know, interested in learning more, obviously I think your work is great and obviously your course is amazing. It's coming up shortly. Just keep following that curiosity.
I think that's fantastic. Fantastic advice. If you are interested in learning more about my program, it's nightlightastrology.com. Click on the courses tab, go to the first year course. Early bird registration is open right now. Be sure to take advantage of that. Starts on November 13th. So, you know, the next book is out there somewhere, you know? So I like to just tell people though, that like, it's really important that you seek some help and some guidance. That's why we do this series, is to let people come on. And I mean, obviously I'm always happy when my alumni come and plug my program, but most of the people who come through my programs are approaching astrology with a multi-pronged approach, and I'm just one part of it. And you know, they're doing really interesting things, and I'm really glad to try to showcase their talents and abilities. And we'll be doing more of it. I'm going to have a group of my alumni come on next week to talk about the practice of professional astrology and my course and stuff like that. So really appreciate Kat being here today. I highly recommend that you check out her book on the personal daimon and astrology. And thanks for all the tips, Kat, that you had for us today. Just fantastic and really encouraging. And if you want to get some coaching with Kat too and learn, you know, more about what she has to say about creativity and online marketing for yourself as an astrologer, you know, be sure to go book that on her website. Thank you so much, Kat. We'll hope to have you on again soon. All right, take it easy, everyone.